And this morning we're talking about a Christmas proclamation. A Christmas proclamation. And when we share about a Christmas proclamation, we're talking about the prophetic voice that was going out right at the beginning of Luke. Luke will begin his gospel with this watershed that bursts open, and you hear prophecy and word of knowledge and prophecy and word of knowledge and prophecy, and it's just layer upon layer. And so we're going to look at the big picture, okay, the macro level of Christmas. Now, we kind of looked at the micro level of Christmas, right? We looked at that Herod, King Herod, was trying to stop Christmas from coming, right? He was trying to literally destroy Christmas, and he wasn't just a Grinch, right? He was actually trying, he murdered, he connived, he was deceptive towards the wise men, so much so that if it weren't for angels intervening, they would have gone back to Herod. But yet the Lord intervened. And so we looked at the micro level, zooming in. Now we're going to zoom out at the macro level. And we're going to look at proclamation after proclamation. I will share with you that each of these passages you could preach a sermon on, okay? And so we're still going to look at the highlights as we look at the big picture this morning. And the first proclamation that was made to Zechariah. It is the announcement of the Elijah that was to come. And Gabriel, he speaks these words, but the angel said, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink. And he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb." We know that, again, John will be a Nazarite, right? He's taken Nazarite vows even from the womb and even before the womb that he's going to do these things. And then it says, "And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And so here we have this prophetic announcement. And he says to Zechariah, "Zechariah, you're going to have a baby. I know your wife was barren, but you're going to have a child." And there could be, again, a whole sermon. And we've done this before where we've compared him and Mary. How the man didn't get it. Can I have an amen from the ladies, right? The man didn't get it. All right, I'm just joking. But the woman did, right? The young lady did. The one that wasn't a priest, the one that wasn't law keeper, the priestly one that went before the Lord, right? This woman, this young lady gets it. And so we see even Luke comparing. But I want us to see throughout all of Luke's gospel. Remember, Luke wrote two books. He wrote Luke and Acts. It was a two-volume work, right? And you will see that you can look at the comparisons between the two, and they open up very similar. Because in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit will begin to pour out, and people will begin to proclaim, and people will begin to speak in tongues, and people will begin to move in miracles, and things will begin to happen. It's a watershed that's breaking open, and Luke does the same thing when he's writing Luke chapter 1. He is bursting forth with this first proclamation, and then he goes into the second proclamation. He talks about Gabriel coming to Mary. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you've found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Can you guys say Jesus? "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said, how will this be since I'm a virgin? And some people look at these two different passages and they're like, hey, Zechariah asks why and you mute him. Mary asks why and she is encouraged. Well, God knows our heart and intent, right? Have you ever had with your kids ask you why? Some of them are asking why because they really want to know why. Some of them are asking why because they don't believe a thing you're saying. And they're not going to do a thing you're saying. And they're like, why do I have to? Okay, Mary comes with the idea in the heart of, how is this possible? Because this has never been done. Remember, Zechariah could look back to Abraham and to Sarah. He could look back to Hannah and how she birthed Samuel, right? She could look back and say, this was done before. I can follow the prototypes. This had never been done before. And the angel said, it's going to take place. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And then the angel does something really awesome here. He says, now I want you to take a step of faith, Mary. But when you take a step of faith, I'm also giving you a word of knowledge right now. And I'm going to drop that word of knowledge into you right now. And what is that word of knowledge? And behold, your relative, Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. Okay? I don't want to talk too much about this, but after 6 months, ladies look a little preggo, right? You got to be careful on that. Always men, right? But they begin to look, they start showing. And the angel says, she's 6 months pregnant. I'm going to give you this word of knowledge. She hasn't read Luke chapter 1. She hasn't read those beginning verses where God speaks to Zechariah in the temple, right? God tells her this and then says, go to Elizabeth and I'll show you this word of knowledge is right on. This word of knowledge that I'm giving you is going to be right on. And so you go and you take it and I'll show you. For nothing will be impossible with God. He says this because Mary knows already, and this is my commentary, okay? That's not scripture. So you'd be like, Pastor John, I went to Luke 1:38. It doesn't say he says this because Mary. That's my own writing, okay, please. So he says this because Mary knows already that her cousin can't have children. So this would be a shock, and it would be a further encouragement. Listen, you don't write text messages to your family back in ancient times. Hey, wife going to have a baby. I'm sending you a text because I can't speak. No. Right? So the idea of she's being told this for the first time, and she would be in a state of shock. She would be in a state of encouragement. And so this is what takes place. This is the second announcement, the second prophetic proclamation with a word of knowledge in there. And then third, we have Elizabeth's prophecy to Mary. And I want you to catch this. This is really awesome, too. From a very male-oriented, patriarchal society, this is deep that Luke puts this in. But Luke puts this in because this is how it happened. He's reporting to Theophilus, right? What took place? This is the news. This is the reality. And what does Elizabeth do? Elizabeth declares, and we'll read it all here, but it says, why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? What is she saying? She's saying Jesus is Lord, right? She, the lady is the first one to say Jesus is Lord, right? And sometimes from very liturgical backgrounds, we focus so much on Mary and Mary's Magnificat, and we focus on the mother of my Lord. Let's focus on the mother. What I want you to do is I want you to zoom in here. It's in bold, so easier to zoom, right? She says, the mother of my Lord should come to me. She's declaring Jesus is Lord, and you're going to be his mom. Isn't that powerful? Angels have declared it, and now this lady, Elizabeth, is sharing it. She's not a priest. She's not a guy. Why does Luke share this? Well, Luke has an intention in his writing, gifted and moved by the Holy Spirit, and that's that he uses you and he uses me, regardless of our ethnicity, regardless of our social status, regardless whether we are a boy or girl, man or woman. God wants to use us all to proclaim that Jesus is here. He has changed our lives and he is returning soon. And you and I are challenged to declare that Christmas proclamation. And none of us can be left out. And none of us can't do it. Because God gives us the boldness, and he's also going to give us the goods to speak those words in truth and with the fire of the Holy Spirit. And Luke will set up this here in Luke chapter 1, knowing that he's going to write Acts chapter 2, and that the people, men, women, child, boy, girl, is going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and they're going to proclaim the word of God. They're going to proclaim that Jesus has come and Jesus is returning. And we need to be ready. But the world needs to be ready, because me and you need to proclaim Jesus is our Savior. And so he uses these ladies. And Elizabeth will share that her baby leaps in her womb. Guess what? Remember what the angel said. He said, even at birth, even in the womb, that John will be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is fulfillment of that prophetic word right there, where she says Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Listen, don't take this too far, but when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, your kids are going to get some of it too. When the overflowing of blessings hit them too. That's the exciting part, right? When we give our hearts to the Lord, when we're on fire for Jesus, our kids are going to watch us burn. My kids are like, Daddy, don't burn. Like, they heard that on the radio, like the famous quote where, again, be lit on fire. And I think it was John Wesley that said, light me on fire and let the world watch me burn. It might be Moody. Don't quote me on it. But again, my kids are like, Daddy, you shouldn't be burning. I'm like, no, but it's not fire like that. It's on fire for Jesus. So sometimes you got to do a little clarification, right? But again, how many know that in this instant, when Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, that prophetic fulfillment took place. John, even in his womb, was getting doused with the Holy Spirit, right? Just being filled up. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Why is this granted to me? The mother of my Lord should come to me. For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. How do we know that she was different, Zechariah? Because first of all, God gives a word of knowledge to Elizabeth. She doesn't know ahead of time. You think Mary's like publicizing, hey, I'm going to be a virgin with child. Don't stone me. I just want everybody to know. I put it on Facebook, don't stone me. No, right? No, that's not happening. So Elizabeth gets a word of knowledge that her cousin is going to have the Lord in her womb. And she speaks that prophetically, right? They kind of overlap, right? Words of knowledge and prophecy. She speaks prophetically, you're going to have my Lord in your belly, all right? Listen, I know it's not your belly, okay. I've taken science, okay. And so anyways, but again, she makes this declarative declaration here, and also the word of knowledge comes true, right? She goes and sees that she's pregnant. She's 6 months pregnant. And what the Lord has said through the angel has come to pass. And so Mary, she'll start praising the Lord, right? When you get excited, you start praising God. But she's not just praising God on her own. She's praising God on behalf of all of Israel. And then Mary will speak words of power that will come out of her mouth. And she will say, he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his offspring forever. Mary is saying, this is what we were hoping for. This has taken place. And she's speaking prophetically. God's mercy is going to be lavished on us, on Abraham and his offspring forever, right? It's going to be forever. It's not short term. It's not just you're going to feel good. Oh, God, it was great in service, but now I just don't feel you. I don't know if the blessings are on me anymore. I don't know if you really keep your promises. No, she's saying Abraham and his offspring forever are going to be in this place of reuniting with the Lord, of forgiven sins, of all this. The culmination of Israel is going to take place. And let me state here that Jesus was the true Israel. What do I mean by that? Israel was chosen as a missionary to the world. to be a light to the Gentiles. That was the original plan. That was the plan. That's why God chose Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, because he wanted to reach the world. If we look back even further, we see Adam and Eve, and God tells Eve, out of you there's going to come a child that is going to crush the head of the serpent, but he will strike his heel. The news of Jesus is for Gentile and Jews. And it's told, again, that Israel was to be the true light. That Israel was to be, again, shining forth the light and the love of God. And Jesus would be that true Israel, because he would come, and unlike all the Israelites before, he would be sinless. And listen, I'm not throwing Jews under the bus. I'm not throwing Israel under the bus. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Okay, before we start pointing fingers like, man, they should have shed the light. I can't believe them. They messed up. Moving on to Gentiles, we get the glory. No. I mean, we've all fallen short of the gospel, right? We've all fallen short in our sin, and we all need Jesus, right? But God was going to use Abraham and did to do this proclamation. And so next comes the prophecy, and we're on to prophecy number 5, the prophecy of Zechariah. And Zechariah, as we know, he doesn't believe, and so God makes him mute. He can't speak for his wife's whole pregnancy. I bet ladies out there, you're like, I wish my husband was mute for my whole pregnancy. Man, did he stick his foot in his mouth, okay? But listen. You know, what I was thinking about as I was putting this message together, and I really feel the Holy Spirit just deposited this in my heart, is this, that for 400 years, God was quiet. If you look back in the Old Testament, for 400 years, the Israelites were in slavery, and God was quiet. They grew in number, but they were still enslaved. But yet, when Moses came, there was a breaking forth, there was a breaking loose, right? And again, a new Moses figure was going to come, a prophet. Right? A prophet to the nations, if you will. Don't go too far with the Moses and John comparison, but my comparison here is with the Lord speaking after a time of silence. Zechariah has a time of silence, and it's not that the Lord's not doing anything, right? Because in that time of silence, a baby is being formed in the womb. And John the Baptist would bring people in droves back to the Lord. And you know, there are some times in your life where you feel like the Lord's not doing anything. You can't see anything. It seems like he's silent, but the Lord is birthing something new, and the Lord is birthing freedom, and the Lord is birthing salvation. And although it may seem quiet, he's at a cellular level, at a molecular level, doing something amazing. And that's what he was doing between the Old Testament and the New Testament. That wasn't wasted time. So when God feels silent in your life, know that there's never a waste of the time. God is birthing. God is doing something to bring forth newness of life if you'll embrace it. And you'll see it through. You'll see it through. And so Zechariah, when he speaks being full of the Holy Spirit. And I love that about God, because God's not like, hey, Zechariah, you didn't believe me. Sorry, game over for you, man. Right? He speaks the word of God. And what does he say? He starts talking about Jesus. He says, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation. Is he talking about his son yet? No, he's talking about Jesus. Raising up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Jesus is from the line of David. And he says this, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. The oath that he swore to our father Abraham to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. What a powerful, priestly, prophetic proclamation. I think Zechariah is a good example that We may mess up. We may fall down. We may put our foot in our mouth, okay? My wife said, we've had four kids, and I've done that a few times, okay? I will tell you, though, something I forgot to mention was, notice the person that encourages Mary. We're backing up a little bit. It's a fellow pregnant woman. That God brings the person in your life that he knows that they can empathize and connect with you because they've been where you're at. Listen, I have never told my wife, listen, I know how you feel. I have never felt that. I will never feel that. Praise the Lord, right, guys? Can I have an amen? I've done, but I almost got winded. I had to sit down. You know, I was like, honey, I know you got this. I'm going to take a seat. No, I didn't do that. I stood by her side, and I won't get deep into that. But again, you know, this aspect, though, that I don't know what she went through. I don't know what she went through in those four times of giving labor. But guess what? Other pregnant women do. And Elizabeth's like, listen, there's a form that I'm not going to get what you're going through. You have a baby in you, and the Holy Spirit placed it there. And it's completely the Holy Spirit's doing here. There's no man involved. So I don't get that. But what I do get is pregnancy, and let me give you a word. Let me speak. Let me read your mail. And let me prophesy to you. God knows just who to bring at the right time. And guess what? You could be the person that God brings at the right time, at the right moment, to speak just the right thing because you went through the same stuff they went through. You're going through the same stuff that they're going through. And if you could speak to them because they know and you know, there's going to be a divine connection. And so don't be afraid when you've gone through garbage in life and you think it's a waste. It could be a connection point for somebody that so desperately needs to know that you've walked in their shoes. And guess what? God has powerful things to share with that person through you. A Christmas proclamation, a proclaiming that he's real, that he's alive, that he's true, that he can transform. And so, again, we were backing up a little bit, but Zechariah, he prophesies about Jesus, and then he prophesies about his son. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And John's dad, Zechariah, is saying, we are living in a time of darkness. This isn't real peace. Pax Romana is not real peace. These people are pushing us down. They're crucifying not just Jesus, which is obviously the most important crucifixion ever in all of history, but they would crucify Jews like crazy in this time. I mean, again, if they broke the law or tried to break Rome, they were put up as examples. Okay, this is the darkest time for Israel in many ways. And here comes the shining light of Christ and saying, I'm going to transform your heart and in your life, and I'm going to send John, and John is going to be this light shining that's preparing the hearts and getting them ready. And this is going to take place. And so, again, we hear Zechariah, this fifth prophecy. And then there's another, the sixth one. And this is with the shepherds. And the angel says, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy. It will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And so the angel, singular, prophesies to the shepherds. And then, as we know, we hear a host of angels, right? Just imagine yourself being out there, and the sky is lit up with angelic beings singing glory to God in the highest, right? And just this beautiful chorus, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. And this is the ESV version, goodwill towards men. Again, this aspect of just this glory to God in the highest. And the sky is lit up, and they're told, go to Bethlehem. You're going to find this baby. And so that's prophetic, right? And again, the word of knowledge prophecy kind of overlap here because, right, it had taken place, so that would be more word of knowledge. But you go there, you're going to find the baby, right? And so we see 6 and 7. That's prophecy 6 and 7 there. And then again comes Simeon. And Simeon has a personal prophecy from the Holy Spirit. Don't you love when God prophetically speaks to you? That God can do that. He can speak prophetically to you on an individual basis. Now, it's for the bigger picture of mission. This is not just so I can feel like, oh, I'm touchy-feely, this is so great. Right? It cannot be so, it's not for elitism, I heard the Lord speak to me about my life. This is for his plan, for his purposes, and he's directing you. And it says to Simeon, he says, Simeon, you will not die until you see the Christ. The consummation of Israel, the hope of Israel being fulfilled. And God gives Simeon this personal prophecy. And then Simeon, on the 8th day after Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph are good Jews. They're followers of the law, and so they take the Christ to go. And they take the Christ to go get what? Circumcised, right? And so on the 8th day, now this is a neat thing. I've shared this before. Unlike all my other kids, I actually watched my child's circumcision, okay? All the other. I didn't watch with Dylan, okay? So I asked Dr. Taganoff, I said, can I watch, you know? And so she was practicing it, and I said, well, why do you think 8 days and then the Israelites? She said, it takes that long for vitamin K to start forming in your body so that you blood clot. Your body is able to begin that process. And so we actually inject them with vitamin K so that they can start doing that process, and we can do that right at the hospital. And so it's amazing, God, when he makes these laws and he has these reasons, there's some medical stuff behind it. And God did that before anybody knew what vitamin K was and what vitamin K does. And so here they come to Jerusalem. They make this trek to Jerusalem, and they see Simeon, and Simeon declares that Jesus is a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. He is declaring that Jesus, this Jesus, is the Savior of the world, and he's not just for us. He's not just a gift that we keep and say, aren't we important, O Israel? But he is a gift to the Gentiles. He's a gift to the nations. And he prophesies that. And it's powerful. It's a powerful, powerful thing. And so we've talked about the announcement of the Elijah that was to come. Gabriel gives that message. The announcement to Mary of the Messiah coming. Elizabeth's prophecy to Mary. Again, this first human saying, Jesus is Lord. Mary's Magnificat, where she will talk about Israel and talk about how, again, the fulfillment of God's mercy. And then we have Zechariah, and we had the angels, and we have the heavenly host. And then we have Simeon's personal prophecy and Simeon's declarative prophecy. And last but not least, and I think this is intentional, he ends with Anna. And with Anna, he says, he gives the background, Luke gives the background, that this woman got married, and, you know, women get married there in the Jewish culture at a young age. But we could say maybe she was 14, maybe she was 15, maybe she was even 13, right? And her husband only lives 7 years. And so she's in her 20s when her husband passes away. We're not told what happens. We're not told what kind of tragedy or what kind of sickness happens. We're not told it was sin or anything like that. We're just told that her husband died. And for the next 60 years, she spends her time in the temple dedicated to the Lord. What an awesome woman, huh? She dedicates her life to Jesus. She says, to the Father, if you will, right? She's at the temple and everything. And how do we know she's such a spiritual lady? She's fasting and she's praying, and they call her a prophetess. Now, we hear prophetess in the Old Testament, so sometimes we don't even blink an eye. But God had been silent for 400 years, and he's still speaking through this prophetess, Anna. he was breaking forth already, and he was using her, and she was even declared a prophetess. And so, and what does she say? What does she do? Right after Simeon gives this declarative prophecy of the Christ, it says, and coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. I think Luke does this on purpose through the guidance and leadership of the Holy Spirit. He ends these prophecies with a woman that gets up and she starts preaching to everybody. That this is the one we've been waiting for. And you need to know him. You need to know the truth. You need to know that he is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. You need to know that he is what we've been waiting for. Luke ends with proclamation. Again, it's still prophetic. Jesus hasn't saved the world yet. But she says, this is that. And you need to know. 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 He ends these 10 prophetic words that just come after. I mean, it's like a freight train. Boom, 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 boom. And he ends it with a declaration of giving thanks to God and speaking of him to all who are waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Everybody that had their heart ready, even before John the Baptist. God wants to empower you to speak and proclaim to those around us that are really waiting to be redeemed. Maybe they don't even know it, but they need to hear the truth. And they're just waiting for you and waiting for me to share this is that. And even if you were a Gentile and didn't know all this Jewish stuff, he's the Messiah for you. He's come for you, and he truly is this. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called, and would you say this with me? Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And it says, and of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. He is that Prince of Peace. He is that Mighty God. He is that one Everlasting Father. He is the culmination of all that we've ever been waiting for. And he's returning soon. And this is not just a message that God used them back then, 2,000 years ago. It's a message that he wants to use you today. That he can still move in the prophetic. That he can still move in words of knowledge. And it's for the believer, but it's also for the unbeliever. To get their attention and go, what? I thought that was just a bunch of religion. I thought Christians were hypocrites. I thought, blah, blah, blah. You fill in the answer that you've heard before. This Christmas season, as we're embracing it, let us embrace this Christmas proclamation. So at this time, would our worship team come forward, and we're going to sing a proclamation. Would you stand with me? We're going to sing a proclamation. That is, Go Tell It on the Mountain. And again, let this song not just be a song that you've sang during Christmas time. Let it be that we go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain because Jesus Christ is born. Telling, proclaiming to a world in darkness that a light has shone. And everything's different because of it. Amen? Let's pray. God, we just thank you. We thank you for the boldness that you gave Mary and Elizabeth and Zechariah, the boldness that you gave your heavenly angels that you sent, the boldness, God, that you filled all these people, Simeon and Anna. God, you use normal people like us, and you display your glory through us. And so, God, I pray that we would be ready to proclaim now in this Christmas season and into the new year, that Jesus Christ is Lord, that you would even fill us and use us in the gifts of prophetic speech, of words of knowledge, that we would step into those waters. And God, I just pray that you would move in awesome ways and that people would come to know you through it. God, we give you praise. In Jesus' name, let's proclaim together.